Welcome. It's good to be back with you. Maybe you didn't know I was gone this week, but I was gone. So, welcome me. Yeah. Today, as we gather, we hear in our first reading from Chronicles and in our Gospel as well, the effect of sin in our lives, how error and sin has this way of bringing us away from the Lord. We see this again and again in the Old Testament, the story of the Israelites as they journey on their journey of faith. So often they kind of go away from the Lord, and He keeps calling them back. We read today in Chronicles that the people and the leaders of Israel added infidelity to infidelity, practicing all the abominations of the nations and polluting the Lord's temple. So when our lives are not lived according to the commands of God, when we knowingly depart from that path, that spiritual life, the moral teachings of Christ's church, we can expect chaos in our lives. We can expect to experience this unrest because we're going away from that path by which we've received God's protection and this union with God. And therefore, necessarily, if we're departing from the Lord, who are we moving towards? The father of lies, Satan. Moving towards him and away from our Lord is obviously a very perilous place to be. And sometimes we kind of want to manage that. We want to say, well, we can be in neutral ground. But there's no neutral ground in the spiritual life. You're either moving towards the Lord or away from Him. So when we pick and choose what's convenient to believe, our preferences perhaps when it comes to doctrines, we'll find it very hard to accept that this is a destructive path to our salvation, to our peace of mind, to our just our spiritual well-being. If we move away and oppose God's laws, it's going to have an effect in our lives. It'll have this way of pushing us away from the Lord. And the commandments that He has spoken to us in the scriptures and the teachings of the church, will, if we're living outside of those or not in union with those things, it's going to be a very challenging thing for us to try to stay united to the Lord. It's one thing to know God's laws and to struggle with them, to have a hard time following them, to be wrestling with them, and to experience maybe a pain or a sorrow or a difficulty there. And yet, still try to live this life, still ask for that grace of conversion, still seek the Lord's graces that He offers to us to can be converted. So it's okay to be in that struggling place. It's okay to have a hard time and to really wrestle with things when it comes to living our faith. That's perfectly normal, perfectly fine. It's another thing altogether, though, to say, you know, I know the teachings of the church. I know what God asks, and I don't want to do them, and I'm not going to even try to do them. That's a different way of living, and that's a way of putting ourselves outside of God's grace. To make excuses, to hold a contrary idea or preference, to claim that the Christian doctrines and teachings of the church are outdated or outmoded, none of these things are going to be able to save us from the consequences of going against the Lord's will in our lives. The Lord is very clear. He says, choose which way you're going to live, and then accept the consequences of that choice. So it's up to us to participate in the life of grace. We put ourselves in peril when we desert God's path to follow our own. If we create our own system of belief, our own morality, you know, who are we to say to the Lord, I know better than you? Now, for an unbeliever, someone who doesn't profess the faith, who's not baptized, who's not practicing Catholic, we don't expect that. You know, it's understandable if they go their own way. They're just working with what they got. But for we who are baptized Catholics, there's a different way that we should look at our lives. We have to be living this harmony with the Lord. If we deviate from the Lord's teachings purposefully, we put ourselves on this road of chaos, confusion, and darkness. So to be unrepentantly against God and what He teaches is to cut ourselves off from the blessings, the protections that He offers to us. These are enumerated many times in the scriptures. When someone chooses to live this way, Their conscience, the inner voice of the Holy Spirit, is necessarily going to be dulled. It's going to be quieted. It's going to be put off. And we won't be able to see as clearly what is right, what is wrong. That's why we see sometimes when people are struggling with things and living a life of sin, you might say, why are they doing that? Why is that so obviously leading them to destruction? Why can't they see that? Well, it's that dulling of the conscience. They're not always totally aware of what's going on. And that's one of the challenges, that the further we go down that road, the harder it is for us to see how it affects us, how it darkens us, and we don't see the environment that we put ourselves into. And it keeps us in that place of sin, error, and darkness. So, hopefully it's become clear now. The consequences, are we understanding the consequences of being what is commonly referred to as maybe a consumer Catholic or a cafeteria Catholic, where we pick and choose the things that we want and we reject the other things? That's not a way of living in harmony with the Lord. And this is going to stall our path, our journey towards holiness, towards eternal life. And the longer we remain in that state, the more difficult it will become to be converted, to turn back. Our life will become more about pleasing ourselves than God. Our life will be more about prolonging this life and seeking all the comforts of this life, whatever manner possible, rather than really seeking this union and this life of grace with the Lord. Ultimately, salvation. We should touch another aspect of the Chronicles reading today. He says, early and often the Lord send his messengers to them, for he had compassion on his people and his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, despised his warnings, and scoffed at his prophets until the anger of the Lord against his people was inflamed. So we see here the Lord never leaves us in that place of brokenness. He doesn't want to just say, oh, you made your choice, I'm going to leave you there. Even if we turn away from him, he seeks after us. He wants to bring us back to him. He wants to bring us into union with him. He desires this for us. That's something that he wants, that he wants to recall us to himself. And so he never gives up sending messengers, helping us to hear the truth, hopefully, trying to prick our conscience, even though it's bothersome to us, it hurts maybe, it's a sore spot. He keeps inviting us back to the life of grace. Now, unfortunately, sometimes these efforts are met with indifference or hardness of heart. People often refuse those opportunities to change their lives. We're too attached to our own sins, our own patterns of sin. Our worldly comforts, we're not willing to give those up. Or our notions that I know better, we can't surrender that. So instead of being converted, we grow even more hardened and resolute against the Lord and his invitation to conversion. Recall today Jesus' words to Nicodemus. He says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. So that's God's purpose in sending Jesus, to save us. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned. When this passage says we are saved by believing in Jesus, it's more than just saying, I believe in Jesus, I believe he's a real person. It's more than that, right? Even the demons believe that way, right? So it's not enough just to say, I believe in Jesus. What Jesus is saying is we need to believe in him and show it by the way we live, what we believe, our actions. Our actions reveal what we believe about Jesus. Either we accept what he has taught us and asked us to do, how to live, or we don't. Having our own interpretation won't help us. It doesn't save us. It's either according to Jesus that we're going to live or according to ourselves that we're going to live. And that will lead us either to heaven or hell accordingly, right? At the bottom line, that's what the Lord offers us, the choice that's set before us. Jesus is very clearly saying, you know, come back. He says, and this is the verdict, that the light came into the world. Jesus is the light, right, of course. The light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come towards the light, so that his works might not be exposed. I don't think Jesus could be any more clear. What Jesus is saying is, yet many people refuse the light which comes from Christ. They prefer the darkness of their own ways. And if we've been in the darkness, we know what that's like. It's hard. It is hard in the moment to say, okay, I recognize this is not a good place to be. But sometimes in that moment, we really don't want to turn away. We want to keep going into the darkness. I think it's therefore good for us to distinguish where we are. Where am I in this? Where is my heart in this? Where am I in this process of conversion in my own life? Do I profess everything and believe everything that Jesus asked me to do, which His church teaches? Do I live according to those things? Everything? If not, am I making an effort to grow, to wrestle with whatever it is that I'm struggling with, whatever it is that I'm having a hard time surrendering, whatever issues are there for me that I'm having a hard time accepting as the truth? Or am I settled in my way of life that is habitually and obstinately refusing to acknowledge God's laws as primary and worth my trust and my submission to them? So in other words, do I accept the official teachings of the church and try to live according to them or not? If I'm obstinately opposed to living under the obedience to God's commandments, then my worship of the Lord can't truly be heartfelt and all-encompassing. No matter how much I may feel emotionally that I'm offering worship, if my life shows that I'm not striving to live in union with the Lord, and I'm purposefully avoiding those ways of living, how authentic is my worship? How authentic can it be? In reality, it's more of a... I'm more interested in worshiping myself than the Lord. And my ideas, my thoughts, my preferences, I'm more interested in focusing on those things than really authentically worshiping the Lord and following Him. So this is where we need to make our decision. Do we prefer the light of Christ or the darkness of the world, the flesh, and the devil? True worship of God can only be offered by those who are pursuing the light of Christ. All others are merely putting on a show for their own benefit, and this will not bring them any deeper into that union of the Lord, precisely because of the fact that they have not, in their heart of hearts, in their soul, in their mind, in their will, said, Jesus is Lord, not me. Jesus is Lord. If we refuse to make that statement publicly, in our lives, the way we live, then we still have conversion. We still have a need to be brought closer to the Lord. Finally, let's just close with a hopeful note. The Lord is great in His mercy. As we heard from St. Paul today, the Lord is great in His mercy. He is extravagant in His patience with us. He will give us the grace of conversion if we truly seek it and desire it, even if in the moment we feel stuck or we feel, I don't know if I can be saved, Lord. I'm so dark down in this hole or this place where I brought myself. I don't know if You can save me. That's sometimes how people feel when we're stuck. But know that it's never too late. It's never too late for a conversion. And thus, it's always this opportunity to be renewed. Whatever your vice is, whatever your sin is, whatever your problems are, whatever teachings you struggle with, the Lord can help you overcome that. God is here to help you. Sometimes it's only after living in a life of sin or living in a way that maybe opposes God's and the path that He has asked you to live, only then can we see how dark it is. Realize how confusing and dissatisfying it is to live apart from God's obedience. If we find ourselves realizing that we need to surrender some area of our lives, let's begin today. Begin today to turn your heart over to Him. And He will meet you where you are at. And great will be His joy in accepting you and bringing you back. Maybe you know someone. Maybe you are aware of someone who seems far from the Lord. Maybe they're having a hard time having hope. Don't be anxious on their account. Pray for them. Confidently come before the Lord and offer prayers on their behalf. Offer fasting, reparation. You know, do something on their behalf. Patiently trusting that God's timing is His own time and we can't always understand it. How many souls have been taken from the path of destruction at the end of their lives, in their last days, in their last weeks, their last years, and have been restored to grace? So brothers and sisters, let's strive today to unite our beliefs, our actions, our souls, everything which we are, to the Lord, and offer true and fruitful worship to our God.